Blog Talk Radio.
All right, you ready?
Yep.
All right, let's do it.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati,
you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it right here. My name is Eric Lorta. I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib. We got a great show for you today. If you want to call or ask questions, 323-870-3857. Habib, let's get started with it. ESPN pay-per-view, probably the pay-per-view. You know, we seem to say this. I mean, 2023 has been great. I mean, we seem to say, like, fight of the year after every, you know, every pay-per-view. This is a big fight. We just had Ryan Garcia, Tank Davis. Now we got Lomachenko and Devin Haney. I mean, for the undisputed lightweight championship. So big fights, man, big fights. Devin Haney wins a unanimous decision over Lomachenko by the scores of 116-112 and 115-113. I think it was 115-113 twice, if I'm not mistaken. Now, listen, man, that's not how I had the fight scored. I had the fight scored 116-112 for Lomachenko. I actually thought it was a pretty clear win, man. It was a tough fight to score, so I don't think it was a robbery. All right, we'll just start there. There was definitely no robbery. I think the fight was just a little bit too close for that. It's not like one guy was, you know, you can make a case. Like, when I'm watching this round, the rounds are close to score. You can make a case for either guy winning the round. I thought, you know, for my money anyway, Lomachenko was throwing the more punches. He was landing in combinations. He was landing the harder punches. Haney, not so much. Haney looked like he was throwing, you know, one and done, you know. Loma was able to push the action, land more combinations. Haney looked confused and completely, to me anyway, looked like he fought the wrong game plan here. You know, Teofimo Lopez put the game plan down to beat Loma. You know, it was a blueprint. Follow the jab. Jab, use your size. And Haney had all those attributes. For whatever reason, chose to throw him out the window and fight this way. I have no idea why on earth he chose to fight this way. He definitely made it a tougher fight than it should have been. But, you know, quite honestly, maybe he didn't. Let's think about this, man. I have said all this time that Haney was the next Mayweather skill-wise. Turns out that wasn't the case. You know, where was the distance? You know, where was the control? Where was the jab? Where was the size advantage? You know, Loma shook him quite a few times in this fight. He tagged him, and he shook Haney quite a few times. Can't say the same the other way around. Haney did not shake Loma at all in that fight. Now, if you're listening to the, you know, the announcers, he, you know, Loma was almost, you know, knocked out on several occasions. You know, I've never heard that kind of announcing on a big, big fight, like that sort of bias. I mean, it was pretty clear, you know, who the announcers were rooting for there, you know. I didn't see any power from Haney, nothing. And he's talking about moving up to 140. Let me tell you what, that is the worst idea ever. He doesn't have the power for 140. Those guys are going to be just as big, if not bigger. I mean, he'll be a big 140. I can't imagine Regis Prograves in Devin Haney. Kidding me? It's a whitewash. And now the blueprint's out on Haney, just like it was out on Lomachenko, excuse me. Now it's out on Haney. He doesn't like the pressure. Loma walked him down all night. He walked the bigger guy down all night, landing shots, hurting him. Listen, man, I had picked Haney all week. Beeb, you know me, and I've said it from the get-go. He's my pound-for-pound guy. You right? You can vouch for me. I've always said that.
You have.
But it all started to unravel this week. You know, he didn't look confident. He looked nervous. I noticed it Wednesday. I think it was that press conference Wednesday where they had that face-off, and you watched him, he looked real, real nervous, and he was the one that looked away. He's the one that looked away from Lomachenko, and everybody kind of made a deal about him, like, well, we'll see. You know, we'll see. I mean, he might be a little bit out. He didn't look confident, but, hey, maybe he was having a bad day. Who knows? Then you come into that weigh-in, and that just lets you know how nervous and worried he was. Completely out of character to push him at the weigh-in. You know, to shove him, knowing, I mean, that was like just a sucker punch. It really was. Nobody expected it. You know, he's standing there. You're supposed to face off. He comes. He's talking. Next thing you know, he just shoves him. Lomachenko said nothing. He didn't say a word. You know? And so I'll break it down, and before I pass over to BB, I'll break it down like this, man. Whether you think Haney won or lost last night, the bottom line is he laid an egg. He's not the fighter he's not the fighter I thought he was, that's for sure. And I don't think there's absolutely no way, after watching his performance last night against Loma, no way he beats Tank, no way he beats Shakur. He's got even less of a chance to beat Shakur. I don't know where that game plan came from. Help me out here, man. You had Haney winning this fight.
Yes.
Which I can't really, it's hard to argue with that. It really is.
Well, after what you just said,
you kind of laid into Haney. Yeah, the round.
I got to follow that. That's a tough thing to follow right now, coming off of what you just said. But I'm going to try. Okay. This is my opinion on the fight. Once again, this is a tale of two fights, right? First six rounds, even the first eight rounds, I'll say. I'll say that Haney was landing the body shots, and you mentioned the game plan. I think the game plan was this. I'm going to step to Lomachenko, push him back, go to the body, because I believe he's vulnerable to the body. He's easy to hit to the body. He doesn't defend well to the body. And he was landing a lot of body shots on him. So he was going to keep going there because he was landing them. I thought he was throwing a short left hook that was pretty effective as well on the inside. And I thought he was throwing a short right uppercut, right? I thought Lomachenko in the first half was throwing flurries, but I just didn't think they were all landing. I thought a lot of those punches were flash. And I remember during one of the rounds where, like, Bradley was getting, like, very excited. Like, oh, look at Loma! And then I heard Andre go, Tim, none of those landed. You know what I mean? So I just think that early on, he was throwing those flurries. And if you look at the output from both guys early on, it was comparable. It was close, right? But I thought Haney was just outlanding him by a touch. And I thought Haney's body shots, in my opinion, were cleaner than Lomachenko's, some of those flurries. A lot of those flurries, I thought, you know, when they were grazing, some of them did land. There was a punch that would land, one or two would land on occasion. But early on, I thought a lot of those punches weren't landing clean. But I was watching Devin Haney rip those shots. You could see, like, Lomachenko's body when he got hit, like it was shuddering. You could see it, right? Now, again, the counter-argument to that is, well, you know, those punches weren't hurting Lomachenko. Once again, unless you're Professor X from X-Men, you use your psionic powers to go inside Lomachenko's head and you can feel those punches yourself, how do you know? All I know is they were landing clean. Now, Lomachenko apparently did take them well because he came on late, right? But I still have to score those as landing clean. Now, where I thought the fight really started to turn, in my opinion, was round nine. That's where I thought, you know, Lomachenko was starting to land the left hand cleaner, right? He's starting to land the left hand cleaner. And in the 10th and 11th round, he did hurt Devin Haney. Devin Haney was visibly hurt. And I'm going to be honest with you. At one point in that 10th round, I was saying, damn, is Loma going to stop him?
I'm not lying. That's what it looked like.
So those two rounds, 10 and 11, Lomachenko dominated. But once again, I'm scoring these rounds round by round, right? Now, rounds one through six, you can have them a variety of ways. You could have it 4-2 Loma. You could have it 3-3. You could have it 4-2 Haney, right? I had it 4-2 Haney the first six rounds. I actually gave Haney 7-8. Some people gave Lomachenko 8, right? I gave Lomachenko 9, 10, and 11, but all three judges gave Haney round 9. So the scorecards are all over the place, and like I always say,
could you make an argument for giving Haney the 10th round, right?
No.
Right?
No. But again, if that round is scored correctly by who was the judge?
Dave Moretti.
Dave Moretti. Then he would have had it 115 and 113. So I understand that was a bad call, in my opinion, and in most people's opinion.
Yeah.
But, you know, at the end of the day, I honestly thought that this fight was very close. The judges agreed on 7 of the 12 rounds. I agreed with 5 of the rounds of the judges. You know, I do think Lomachenko had that little run, right? But, like, rounds 7 through 12, I had it 3-3. I thought Haney won the 12th, and I thought he won 7-8. I mean, I could see this a number of ways. I really could. But once again, when I'm watching that 10th and 11th round and I'm seeing Lomachenko dominate those rounds.
Yeah.
Totally just disregard everything that happened before that. Because people tend – I don't want to sound condescending here, but a lot of people watch the fight and they're not scoring it round by round. So they see Haney nicking rounds, but then they see these monster rounds from Lomachenko. And then they hear ridiculous shit from Max Kellerman, like story of the fight. And then there's no story of the fight.
Oh, those fools talking all night, you know, about Haney. Every time Haney landed, they had pom-poms, you know.
You know, and it's funny because it was kind of like good cop, bad cop, in my opinion. I thought Bradley was kind of really rallying for Loma, and I thought Ward and Tessitore were kind of going for Haney more. So, yeah, he kind of had a good cop, bad cop. But I see what you're saying. Tessitore and Ward were for Haney, and then you have Bradley for Lomachenko. But everyone should be down the middle, right?
Right.
Really should. I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, I don't want to hear your opinion on the fight.
You know,
at all.
And then
I
hear people getting angry, right? When you tell them you had Haney winning, why can't you just disagree with me? Why do I have to be nuts? Why does anyone have to be nuts? Like, why in this world can't we just disagree with each other without discrediting the other person's opinion? Why does the other person have to? Why can't you just say, B, I just don't see it how you saw it. I disagree with you. You know, you have to, like, there has to be, or you have to call them. Not, like, Ness and I were doing a show this morning, and we agreed on 7 rounds for Haney. And he actually gave Haney an extra round than I did, you know? So it is what it is, man. If you called it a robbery, I'm not going to try and talk you out of it. Because, once again, 75% of the people out there thought Lomachenko won. So whenever you have an overwhelming amount of people on one side like that, then I understand the cries for robbery. I'm not here to try to change anybody's mind, but as an analyst, I give my opinion. I score fights, and I'm scoring rounds. And while I'm scoring rounds, my job is not to agree with everybody. My job sometimes is I'm going to be in the minority in my opinion. I'm not going to always have that popular decision on my scorecard. I'm in the 25%. I acknowledge that. And by being in the 25%, I'm not going to try to convince the 75% that they're wrong and I'm right. I'm just giving you an illustration of what I saw. That's all. Beeb's crazy. That's fine. Guilty. I had to go through this when I scored for Bradley. I had to go through this when I scored for Ward. And you've had to go through it when you scored fights that when you were in the 25%, right?
Yeah, for sure.
That's fine. Sure. Eric and I disagree every week, but do I say Eric's this, Eric? I mean, we just didn't see the same thing. Now, sometimes things do look egregious. Like last week did look egregious. We had to call that out. Okay, it's fine. But this fight was a hard fight to score. And then when you look at the punch stats, you know, and we don't live and die by the punch stats, but we kind of – we're starting to see that these guys are getting better with the punch stats. So we can kind of look at them somewhat as a guideline if we want to, right? And we did see Lomachenko land 14 more punches. But that was a snapshot in time because in rounds 10 and 11, he outlanded Haney 31-7, right? He outlanded him 31-7. But all the other rounds, Haney outlanded him 5, Lomachenko outlanded him 5, and 2 rounds were even, right? So, again, if you guys think it's a robbery, have at it. The overwhelming majority of people out there are going to agree with you. I am not trying to talk people off the ledge. If it's a robbery, then it's a robbery if you want to believe that. I just disagree. I didn't see it that way. I can't go back and rewrite my scorecard just because I'm in that 25%.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take my lumps. Right?
I agree.
I'll be the pinata today if you want. I'll be the idiot.
I think more people agree with you, to be honest with you. I think more people agree that Haney won this fight than Lomachenko won the fight.
There's only one poll out there that agreed with me, and that's Ness's poll. But that is kind of a biased poll because they always saying Haney was going to win
the fight
on that. So right. I'm being honest. That poll that I did tweet out was a biased poll. The majority of the polls out there, 75-80% of the people think Lomachenko won the fight.
Wow.
That's fine.
So
I understand the cry for robbery.
You know, I'll tell you like this. Like I said, it was a close fight. There's no question about that. I mean, because it depends on what you're looking for in each round. What I was looking for wasn't what you were looking for. You know what I mean? But I will tell you this, man. The way I regarded Haney prior to this, okay, and the way a lot of people regarded Haney prior to this is like Floyd Mayweather Jr. Because you got a guy here who doesn't get hit. He's fast. He's fast. He can move. He doesn't have the charisma, but that's okay. We're looking for style. We're looking for style and stuff like that. But let me tell you this real quick. When Floyd fought Diego Corrales, that was the biggest fight of his career because those two were on a trajectory. Diego Corrales, a lot of people consider Diego Corrales like the top pound-for-pound guy. You know what I mean? And Floyd went in there and just murked him. I mean, that fight wasn't even close. And every advantage, with the exception of speed, belonged to Corrales. He was bigger. He was stronger. You know, he was a great boxer, this and that. And Floyd went in there and dismantled him. That's what you do in the biggest fight of your life, right? On the biggest fight of your career, biggest stage, pay-per-view. That's how you do things. Not like this.
Understood. But again, Floyd Mayweather did have that Jose Luis Castillo moment.
He did.
You know?
But Jose Luis Castillo wasn't this type of caliber of fight.
Well, to your credit, Floyd was favored against Castillo. There was some similar, I don't want to say it was the same, but some similarities in the fact that Floyd was heavily favored in that fight. Just like Devin Haney was.
Yeah.
And when you're heavily favored and you squeak by, the perception is you didn't do what was expected of you. You could have done more. And sometimes the other guy gets up to credit. Now, I'm not saying that happened here. Not. What I am saying, though, is let's talk about the defense. Because Lomachenko only landed about 21% of his punches.
Lomachenko landed more punches than Devin Haney.
He landed 14 more, but he threw a lot more, too. He threw like 120 more punches than Devin Haney did, and he only landed 14 more. So the problem was when Devin Haney – see, I think it's that snapshot in time in rounds 10 and 11. Because if you look early in the fight, right, Devin Haney was kind of slipping stuff. But then, you know, like I said, round 8, 9, that's when he started getting hit with the left hand. But – in that round 10 and 11 where he really got hit flush and was hurt, in my opinion, I don't think that erases all of the good work defensively he did early in the fight. Because if you take – that's when the 31-7. Now, it happened. That's fine. But for a lot of those rounds, he was defending pretty well. You know what I mean? He was – you know, Lomachenko only landed – like, this is a guy that's used to landing like 40% of his punches. Against good opponents.
Yeah.
And he only landed 20% of it, 21. But I think when people look at that 10 and 11 round, see how beautiful those left hands were that hurt Devin Haney in that 11th and 11th round, excuse me, when he really hurt him like that. I think people focused a lot of that. That was that snapshot in time. But to your point, Devin Haney did not fight the fight that either one of us thought he was going to fight. I did not think he would make this an inside fight.
I have no idea why he made this an inside fight.
And to his credit, in doing so, I think he did better than I expected on the inside, but it still wasn't his game. In other words, he probably would have done better with some space, right? That's the thing. So I was just surprised at how he was able to land those body shots continuously in the early rounds. That was some good work. But I understand the argument the other way. I can't say that anything you're saying is out of line or is out of whack. I'm not saying that. I don't know. I was just seeing a different thing early on. I just didn't think a lot of those punches were landing flush. I thought Haney was slipping some of them. I thought some of them did get through, but not to the extent that people are implying, in my opinion. I just didn't see it. But that's why we have, you know, opinions, right?
I'll tell you what, man. And, I think with me, you know, as, like I said, man, knowing that he could have made this an easy fight, just copying that Teofimo blueprint, all he had to do, you know what I mean?
Because you could have envisioned him.
Easy fight.
You could have envisioned him fighting a similar fight to Teo with the exception of not having that pop with the right hand.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And Loma was walking through those shots. None of those shots stunned him. You know, and for him being the bigger guy and everything like that, it's like, what in the world?
He was taking any shots very well. He was taking any shots.
Oh, God. Yeah, he was eating them up, man.
I want to give a shout out to my man, Sutter Kane, because he's in Africa right now on vacation. He's watching the show, and I told him I'd give him a shout out. So give Sutter Kane a shout out. Thank you, brother.
Thank you so much, my friend. Also, too, I want to shout out here, let's see here, all the way at the beginning of the show here. CN, the word robbery gets thrown around too often in this sport. It was a nip-and-tuck fight, fought at a high pace. I have no problem with the decision. I'll be honest, I don't, you know, like I said, you can make a case for either guy winning it. You know, I thought one guy won it, you thought the other guy won it, whatever. And it's just what the judges have, and that's that, you know. But that being said, even though he won the fight, it should have been a clear-cut fight. With what I thought, again, could just be me, what I thought was his ability. Maybe he never had that ability. You know what I mean? Maybe he never had that ability. Maybe we're thinking of Shakur Stevenson as the next guy. You know? I don't know. But whatever myth Haney had for me last night disappeared, that's for sure. And I would not favor him against Tank. I would sure not favor him against Stevenson. He doesn't want either one of those two. My guess is he'll go up to 140, but what's he going to do there? And everybody calling for this rematch, we got to run it back with Loma. He ain't fighting Loma again, son. They said as much last night. Bill Haney was over there talking about, I don't see why. We beat him really easy. It was an easy fight. There was nothing easy about that fight for you. What are you talking about? Are you crazy? Like, come on, man. Philly Drew, thank you so much. He said Haney won 5-8 and 12 on my card with the wrong game plan. Yeah, I think so too.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
And tell me what your opinion is on this. Do you think because Haney was getting sick of hearing how boring he was and how much he holds too much, the jab and grab style, we saw him in the Jojo Diaz fight kind of fight like this a little bit. Obviously, Jojo Diaz is not Vasily Lomachenko.
Right.
Do you think he's just trying to fight a different way to be more fan-friendly to the crowd? And do you just think he's getting tired of the criticism of him not being an aggressive, offensive guy? Or do you think Loma just lulled him into fighting like this? What's your opinion on the way this whole thing played out?
I'm going to tell you this. Remember Pernell Whitaker later on in his career? He said he wants to make it more of a fan-friendly thing. He wants to stand down with his – he wants to stand there with his opponents, trade a little bit more than move around the ring like he's normally doing. Floyd Mayweather said the same thing late in his career. He said, you know, I want to try to stand more, give the people a show. I want to – that's code for my legs don't work anymore, right?
That's what D-Style says all the time.
That's code for my legs don't work. Now, for Haney, we know his legs work. We know he's a young guy. He's 24 years old. That's going to be no problem. But if he ever said something like, I just wanted to give the fans a more friendly fight, means he ain't got he doesn't have it to do that. You know what I mean? He can't do that. He can't do that against his opponent, and he can't do that in the ring anymore. You know, he's not able to fight high level like that. You want to fight the JoJo Diaz and stuff like that, you do that. But when you step it up and you start fighting high level, that means you don't have the ability to fight like that. Nobody wants to get punched in the face. You know what I mean? Nobody's going to sacrifice. Hey, if that was the case, he'd have been doing that a long time ago to get a spot higher than where he is now. You know what I mean? Pay-per-views, everything like that. You know, he would have been fought tank by now. That would have been a huge fight. But that's not his style.
And Eric, people got to give credit to you, man, because you were high on this guy for a long time.
Oh,
you
very much,
him.
Yeah.
You picked him, right?
Mm-hmm.
You picked him, and you still scored against the guy. And
yeah,
you know, like I'm. So you're obviously a very objective person. I consider myself an objective person.
Yeah.
People aren't going to say I'm objective today because obviously no one agrees with me, right? They're going to be asking if I have friggin' like Devin Haney T-shirts in my closet right now, but that's not the case.
Yeah, you know, and I told anybody that would listen up to this fight, bet your money on Haney. He is going to win, and he's going to win easily.
Yeah.
And man, that just to me didn't happen. You know, it didn't. You know, like I said, I mean, he won the fight, great. But at the end of the day, man, would you favor him watching what you watched last night over Tank, over Shakur? I wouldn't favor him over either one of those guys.
I didn't favor him before this fight, but you remember last week I told you I thought Tank would beat him and I thought Shakur would beat him.
You did. And there's no way.
I think Tank is he's a tough out for anybody. Now I think Shakur is the best of them all, but that doesn't mean Tank can't win. I wouldn't be shocked if Tank knocked out anybody.
No.
Well, that power is for real.
Tank might be the best guy there. You know, you think about it because you look at Ryan, and as quick as he was and everything like that, Tank found a way around it. Tank cooked him. You know, I mean,
I would pick Shakur over everybody right now at 135. I would.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't mind a sleeper fight. Any fight Tank is in.
Yeah.
I'm not adverse to putting a little knockout proposition money on Tank.
And I tell you what, Tank
Let's
is
just
very,
put it that way.
And I tell you what, especially with his last fight with Ryan Garcia, Tank is a very underrated boxer. People get that twisted all the time and say he's just a puncher, he's this and that. He's a very underrated boxer. He really is. He's very underrated defensively. You know, I tell you, man, it's just one of those things, man. It was one of those nights last night where you watch it and I was just like, wow, you know, the guy won, to me anyway, he won. But he didn't win. He actually lost stock in that fight, to me anyway. That's, you know, when I watched Haney in that fight, to me he lost stock in that fight.
I would agree with that.
I don't think you can call this a robbery. Like I said, those everything was close. You can make a case either way. But the way the fight should have played out to the way it actually played out, two different things, man. I thought Haney should have won this in a runaway. And he should have made this fight look easy. And he didn't. It was the exact opposite of what he tried to do, you know. Max Kellerman said that Loma won the story of the fight. That was beautiful. What is it? I don't even know when he pulled that stupid line out. You know what I mean? I don't know when he pulled that stupid line out, but it was garbage then. It's garbage now. Stop using it. There is no story of the fight.
Who would you rather be? Well, again, you know, you could be winning every round, but you could have broken ribs and a fractured orbital bone. Meldrick Taylor was in that fight with Chavez, and he was up on all the cards.
Sure.
So, who would you rather be—the guy that was up on all the cards, but had a broken orbital bone and broken ribs and was fucking pissing blood?
But like,
so, I mean,
week,
what does that even mean? Who would you rather
like
be?
A week, they say.
I'd rather be the guy. I'd rather be the guy that's winning the fight, Max.
Yes.
That's what I'd rather be. I mean, just because, like, you could be winning a fight and be having a lot of physical damage on you. Well, like, if you looked at the end of that fight with Haney and Lomachenko, Haney's face was I'm not going to say it was virtually clean, but it was a lot cleaner than Lomachenko's. But that still doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
So this whole thing of who you rather be.
Who would you rather be?
I'd rather be Halle Berry's friggin' boyfriend. How's that?
Yeah,
what the fuck does that have to do with anything?
There you go.
What does that have to do with anything?
All right, let's go to the phones here. Let's bring Robert on. 530, you're live.
Hello, guys. How are you?
Good, man. What's up?
Well, that was a very interesting fight, and boy, do I agree with you, Eric. Devin Haney really screwed that fight up big time. He could have made it a lot easier than what he did. Now, I don't think he won the fight.
How'd you have it?
I scored it even. I had it a draw. But
okay.
In my opinion, he fought Lomachenko's fight and allowed Lomachenko to hang around. If he would have boxed and done what Devin Haney normally done, it would have been a 10-2, 9-3 kind of fight, like I said last week. But for whatever reason, him and his dad, what does Bill Haney know about boxing? I'm beginning to wonder. They had this ridiculous game plan to allow Lomachenko to do his thing, and that's why he was able to stay in that fight. And, you know, I don't know what's going to happen with Haney next, because now he's a promotional free agent. His contract is up with Top Rank. So I don't know what they're going to do. But the fight I want to see him in next, I want to see him and Shakur. I want Shakur to take those belts.
Oh, that's not nice.
No.
Do you think Shakur beats him?
Absolutely. Well, like Shakur said last night after the fight, he said, Lomachenko should be the undisputed champion. And then the guy asked him, well, what did you see, you know, out of Haney? And he said, look, I would have an easier time fighting Devin Haney than I would Lomachenko. That tells me all I need to know. But I don't know if he'll stick around at Top Rank. He might go to Max Room, back to Eddie Hearn, so he can get easy fights. If he doesn't get Shakur, I want to see him in against Tank. Either way, I want either one of those two guys to take those belts.
I think he fights. I think if he does choose to stay down at 135, the only fight that makes sense to him is the Tank fight, because it's a monster fight money wise for him. Other than that, he'll probably go up.
Yeah,
and it's not going to be a walk in the park for him. It's not going to be a walk in the park for him up at 140. It's really not.
But Joe, he's going to have even more of a difficult time at 140 than he did at 135. Can you imagine him in the ring with Regis Progre?
That's a tough fight. But
that's not a pretty
sight. That's a dangerous sight.
Because now it says he has 15 knockouts in 30 fights now. I really wonder how he got those knockouts, because it looked like to me that he really doesn't have any power. Yes, he hurt Lomachenko in spots, but you never saw Lomachenko really.
I don't think you hurt him at all.
That's my point,
Robbie, can I just interrupt you for a second, Robbie?
Sure.
Robbie, let me just interrupt you for a second.
Sure.
You scored the fight of draw.
Yes.
You're acting like Haney only won like three rounds by the way you're talking about him. Like,
well,
you had it a draw. Like, he couldn't have done that bad if you had it a draw, Robbie.
I'm just saying that his game plan was wrong. Yes, I had it a draw. That's how
I'm not
I
trying to run
scoring.
Interference for the guy, but you're pulling down your pants and just taking a dump on this guy.
Well,
what's going on here?
You're
giving this guy a golden shower right now.
Well, look, Joe, don't get so disgusting.
Shower.
That's terrible. Well, he kind of deserves it. He could have made this a hell of a lot easier fight.
He kind of deserves a golden shower.
No, Eric.
You think he deserves a golden shower just because you had to fight a draw? What would you have done? What would you have done if you had him losing 7-5? Would you have thrown him in the freaking toilet or something, or a sewage bin? What are you talking about right now?
Frankly,
hey, let me jump in. Let me jump in.
Okay,
let me jump in
right.
real quick. Harley One Forever, thank you so much, my friend. If you guys like motorcycles, go check out his channel. D-Style Boxing, and I think D-Style hits it on the head here, and I think maybe, I'll be honest, I definitely fell in this category. Haney isn't the master boxer people think he is.
No, he's not.
Couldn't agree more. Agree more.
No, he's not. You know
what I like about Robbie, though? He's such a bandwagon. Like he'll jump off the bandwagon so quick. He loved Triple G, and then Triple G had like a tough fight with Danny Jacobs and Canelo, and he hates him now.
Oh.
Hates him.
No,
he wanted Triple G to get hurt in a fight because he was so disgusted with how he wasn't like as good as he thought he was.
No,
I don't understand with you,
skills.
Man. Like,
his skills have eroded, man. That's why he hasn't scheduled another fight. He knows he's gonna get hurt.
Robbie's a cold.
Your skills have eroded too, Robbie. You're not the same man you were 10 years ago.
I know that.
That's crazy.
But I'm not pretending to be something that I'm not either.
All right, Robert, we're gonna have to get running here. We got a bunch of calls here, so we're gonna get to them.
All right,
man. Get him out of here.
Have a nice day, Robbie.
Chicago 773. You're live.
Every day. Not every day, but I listen to Max Kellerman show a lot. And, get up at with first. I don't know what it's called, but he does the same crap. Oh, the storyline! It's all about the storyline and the.
Oh, it's so stupid.
You're not
right?
Looking at it from this angle. It's he always tries to be some. You got to look at it from this angle, guys. It's the big picture, and it's like just shut up. Holy crap! Yeah, he's annoying. Max Kellerman, you don't want to admit Devin Haney lost, plain and simple. Why can't they just get it right? That's all I hear is, oh, it was a close fight, guys. You know, it was a close fight, back and forth, gone either way. I mean, that's every single fight. It would just give the winner his win, okay? Lomachenko was the better fighter. Award him his victory. It's not that hard, people. It's always, but it always seems like they could always find a way to score it for their guys. We're not looking at it this way, you know, the body shots and, oh, he controlled this and that. Some people always manage to find a way to, you know, pick their guy, pick the person they want to win. But everyone with non-biased can see Lomachenko landing the clear shots, the head-snapping shots. And just one thing after the other with boxing. After last week with that circus event, and now this, it's like, are we surprised? I mean, we're not surprised, but it's just like we keep coming back and seeing the same thing over and over with this crap. And the people, well, it's a close fight, guys. You know, that's just the way it goes. Close fight, anybody could win. So, and whatever. I'm done with this shit. I'm done with it.
What are you gonna do, Beef? Nothing you can do. We'll buy the next fight. You know, we'll buy the next fight. But I do disagree, man. I don't think it was a robbery.
I got my pay per views on auto pay, so you
robbery.
Know I'm buying the next one.
Auto pay.
He was snapping his head back.
I'm
like
on
a
auto
pay
right now, man.
Head dispenser.
All right, Kevin. We're gonna get rolling here, man.
Jake Paul one.
Yeah, I know, right? All right, we're going to get rolling, man.
One
thank
love.
You so much.
What?
Hey, guys, 270 people watching the show right now, 40-some likes. Come on, let's get the likes up, man. Come on, man. Just hit the like button for me. Just press it. Just press the like button. You know what I mean? Come on.
I think they're mad because I scored it to Haney.
516. 516. I'm looking from New York. 516.
Hey, what's up, guys? Yeah, this is Jesse. What's up, guys?
All
time you call. See, when you call in early, you get in.
How about that?
Stop calling with 3 minutes left of the show.
Yeah, I apologize. Eric, I got to give you a little bit of credit today while I was listening to the show, man. I was expecting you to, defend Haney. And, you're keeping it 100% real, because I know you were saying that he was the next Floyd and everything.
For sure.
Yeah, man. All right, so here's where I didn't score it round by round, which was almost impossible to do. this is where, like, I'm screaming robbery a little bit from. The two rounds that were decisive were Loma, 100%, the 10 and 11 round. Now you got the 116-111 judge giving that round to Haney, meaning that scorecard was already in before this fight even took place. And then for Loma having to win the 12th round just to get a draw, I just don't see it like that. That round, I mean, I can't see Loma not winning the fight or at least getting a draw. So, I mean, a robbery is a robbery, whether it's by 2 points or whether it's by – so, yeah, I didn't sit down and seen it, but he was landing the cleaner shots all day. You know, I don't think he beat Shakur Stevenson. I will say this, I'll give it credit. I think fight of the year. You know, this –
good fight.
Yeah. What were you saying?
Just said it was a good fight.
Good fight.
Good fight.
Oh, yeah. I think fight of the year. I think it was a great fight. You know, it's funny. A friend of mine came over to Garcia Davis, and he was like, wow, this is 10 times better than Garcia Davis. And it's funny, the fight that gets hyped up so much versus this one. And, you know, this one was really the 50-50 fight, you know, that that we didn't realize that we needed in some ways. So that's where I think the robbery comes in from. Like I said, you know, the two rounds, that you even had Devin telling his dad, he's hitting me from here, though. I don't know what to, like, he was lost. He was completely confused. So, you know, I think Loma won, man, and, you know, I feel bad for him because, you know, this was his chance to redeem himself and get a next fight. I don't know what happens to his career here. Devin Haney's obviously not the fighter a lot of people thought he was, and his loss is coming. You just see the loss coming up soon, you know. And I'm going to the Teofimo Lopez fight in a couple of weeks, and I'm going for Teofimo. So if you guys can give me your prediction on that, you know, I'll let you guys go.
All right, man. Sounds good. Thank you so much, Jesse Reakin. We're going to go now to, I believe, San Antonio, 210. You're live.
Hey, guys. Anthony, Texas. What's up?
Anthony, what's going on?
Not much, man. Yeah, I kind of agree. I'm along the same lines with the last caller. You know, if you rob somebody for $2 or if you rob them for $500, it's still robbery, right? But I think what makes it a robbery is that the Moretti scorecard, the 10th round, him scoring that round, 8-4 for Haney. I mean, it was a close fight. I had Loma a close but clear winner. And also, when the consensus is Loma across the board, whether it comes to fans, boxers, you know, guys that cover the sport, pundits, so everybody has Loma. It's not like it's split down the middle. Everybody is pretty much saying, yeah, that Loma was that guy that night. And what made it more impressive to me was he's a 35-year-old guy. He's outside by – I mean, this guy, I mean, Devin was massive, you know, in the ring. So, I mean, that just shows you what level, you know, Loma has always been on, you know. And then, you know, he didn't have a hurt shoulder this time. And I feel bad for the guy because it's for all the belts. It's so consequential, the outcome for him, because, you know, he's 30 – he's already older. It might be his last shot. Not as bad as last week when we saw Barroso, where that was probably his last shot ever in his whole career. But
yeah,
it is what it is. And there's no upside to Devin. He's done with Top Rank. He acts like Tio when it comes to being a spoiled brat and biting the hands that feeds him. His dad's crazy. He panders to the LDBC. You know, they push all these crazy narratives about Loma for years. But they're acting like psychos, man, And he doesn't sell tickets. He's not fun to watch. I mean, he didn't grab as much. I didn't like the antics of saying he fouls, he's the dirty fighter, when he was the one doing all the fouls all night. But I'm glad he didn't hold all night either. But it's sad, man. I mean, it was such a good fight, and it's just 1 week after another. It's just kind of sad to see, man. You know, he's not going to fight Shakur. He's going to move on from Top Rank. he's not going to fight Tank. I don't think he's going to be able to make the weight. You know what I mean? And Tank's going to, you know, Tank's going to want that rehydration clause, and there's no way he can make it. He's too big. And when he goes to 140, he's not going to be a player. I mean, I just don't think he has the power. He doesn't have the chin. I think those guys are just going to roll right through him. I mean, that's a whole – I mean, that's – I don't know. Like, he's had all the stars aligned for him. He had that – Eddie Hearn didn't know any better. He overpaid these guys like he did with Boo Boo, thinking that, you know, when he had the war chest, overpaying this guy grossly in the zone when he doesn't sell tickets. It's not a commodity. And then he gets that – all the belts from Kambosos after Tio shits the bed, you know what I mean? So, and then now he gets I think he got a gift. I think it's a robbery. That's because of those shady scoring and then the majority consensus. That, to me, that's a robbery. Good fight, close fight, but clear winner. But this is the frustrating part, man. You're just rewarding the guy that doesn't move the needle, and he didn't deserve that fight that night. And it's just, I don't know, man. It's just we need to do better, man. This lightweight division is so good. You know, the most popular one is a YouTube guy who doesn't like to take orders from trainers in Ryan. Tank has the most clout, but he won't fight nobody. Loma is like the
just
old...
fought Ryan Garcia. You can't say he doesn't fight him. He just fought Ryan Garcia, man.
Yeah. That's not Shakur or Devin or even Devin or Loma. He ducked Loma for years.
But that's the fight we all called for, though.
Is it?
That was the biggest fight for him. Yeah, of course it is.
It's the biggest. I mean,
it's the biggest fight for him.
The biggest commercial fight. But, I mean, Ryan was never a champion. Ryan was – he was still borderline prospect. You know what I mean? Like, I get it. Like, it was
a successful
event.
Yeah, but we
were
all 50-50 on that fight. Everybody who we talked to, I mean, that was a 50-50 fight, man.
I don't know.
A lot of people went for Ryan. Now, nobody goes for Ryan on Sunday, but on Saturday and Friday, everybody, that was 50-50, man.
Those are Tank haters, because like, anybody who really knows boxing was like, no, man, Tank's too much for him. You know what I mean? Tank's too much for him. There, he is a hard guy. He is a hard guy to like. I get it. But with Tank, I like Tank.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
For sure.
Ryan's not that guy. And in hindsight, we find out that he wasn't even training seriously, right? So, like, Goofing was like, oh, yeah, we're kind of just, what do you call it, collaborating. I'm like, oh, okay, going to the gym.
Yeah, you call it collaboration.
Yeah, this lightweight division is great, but it's crazy how everything falls in line. And, you know, no one's going to fight Shakur. Devin's not that guy. He keeps getting gifts. It's just frustrating, man. You see online – the consensus is everybody's disgusted. People are again, like, saying, fuck boxing. And I'm just like, man, like, when are they going to get it right? But good fight, you know what I mean? It's just, I don't know, man. I just don't get it. But that's just, we keep coming back, man. We're a dying breed for a reason. But
we got the sickness,
thanks,
man.
Thanks for the show, guys.
We got the sickness.
Thanks for the show,
all
guys.
Right, man. Thank you so much, Anthony. All right, 917. I believe this is New York. 917. Maestro?
Hey, guys.
917. Yes, hey, you're live.
Hey, what's up? This is Cam Starr. I actually saw you on the Boxing Voice earlier today, B. And I always love you guys'
thanks,
analysis.
Devin.
But, yeah, the funny thing, though, is I do actually want to object to something that you've been kind of saying and utilizing as part of your fight analysis. And I understand it is a valid way to review the fight, but I think you were mentioning, like, the number of punches thrown by Lomachenko versus the amount landed and using that as, a sign of effectiveness, meaning that Haney was more effective and that justifies, like, the scorecards. I think you have to put in, you know, you have to take into consideration, like, the requirements of a shorter, smaller man coming up from a lighter division and what was necessary for him to even get into range. A lot of those, like, you know, like, missed shots that you're counting as a sign of inefficiency – he had to do that to just close the distance and get in range. So that's the only thing I would point out in my view that's kind of a fallacy of analysis. Because, of course, you're the shorter man with the shorter reach going against a taller man. How are you getting inside? You're working your way inside with a lot of throwaway punches. That's what we saw there. I think that the callers in this, you know, on your platform – are being more honest about how they feel about the fight, by the way. I think, like, on the Boxing Voice,
oh, yeah,
folks started
that's
to kind
a
of...
pro-Haney. That's a pro-Haney. That's a pro Haney environment over there. I understand that.
Yeah.
You know, that's, he knew. I think he knew that I had Haney winning. That's why he texted me and asked me to come on for a couple of minutes.
I'm not gonna lie.
That's a pro Haney environment. So
he knows his audience
that's
over there,
felt.
Man.
He knows his audience.
He ain't stupid,
I'm going to be very honest. Like, I watched the fight. I turned the fight off, and I went to bed thinking, gee, you know, it was a really good fight, by the way. I'm glad folks are actually acknowledging that. Like, it was very high-level boxing. But I did go to bed thinking, well, I would have given it to Lomachenko. I wasn't mad. I wasn't screaming robbery. But I was like, yeah, I felt like Lomachenko won. And I'll leave it at that, right? Because I think everybody's broken down the scorecards and the round-by-round. Like, sufficiently, right? Like, I'm not going to add anything to that conversation. I definitely would be curious what the pay-per-view numbers look like. We know they're not going to look anything like, Tank's numbers with Ryan, right? We know that. And honestly, the fight that I care about the most next in this division would be Haney-Tank, because Haney has all the belts, and Tank is, let's be honest, he's literally the person who's established himself as the most dominant fighter. I'm not going to, you know, I'm excluding Shakur from that only because of, you know, like the trajectory and the fights that these guys have had recently and who's, you know, who's recently in memory for us, right? In our recent memory for fights, it's going to be this fight and it's going to be the Tank fight. I like to say that Tank probably eats him up with that left hand. He knows how to fight big guys. He knows how to close distance and he has a lot of power. And we're seeing that, like, Haney get hurt. And people were saying, well, will it be at 135 or whatever? Well, Tank fought Ryan at whatever it was, 136, 137. So, I mean, that fight could be made and probably at 136 or 137 if we think weight was an issue for Haney. That's the fight I want. To me, that's the fight I care about the most right now in that weight, you know, range. All the others don't really tickle my fancy. So I'll leave it at that. You guys can move on to the next caller. But I am interested in listening further to what other people think. Thank you.
Sounds good. Thank you so much, my friend. Thank you for listening. Sactown, I believe this is Sacramento, 916. You're live.
Hey, what's going on, gentlemen? How you guys doing today?
What's the word? How you doing?
What's up?
I'm all right. I'm slow motion. Just wanted to tap in with you guys, you and Bees. Salute you guys on this beautiful Sunday. You know, the way I saw the fight, I saw it 7-5 for Haney. I thought it was a real high-level fight, very competitive fight. You could see the thinking and the adjustments that was being made by both men. But I really think that you got to give your flowers, you know, to the young bull. You know, he won. You know, he got the job done, you know, at the end of the day. You know, every round is a fight. You can't win the fight with three rounds. You know, I had, you know, Loma picking up some momentum the 10th, the 11th, but then he let off the gas. If, you know, the championship round, he should have closed the show and you know, kept pushing. But, you know, Devin, he held on. You know, he didn't go down. He was strong. You know, I think there's a lot of controversy. I think that a lot of eyes were on this fight. Man, I can't wait till the numbers come out. I mean, the Boxing Voice was 6 hours. I don't know how long this show is going to be, but a lot of people were tuned in.
It's not going to be 6 hours,
you know,
I can tell you that.
No, but when Floyd, if you look back at Floyd's career, early in his career, he had the controversy with Castillo. And he went into an immediate rematch. And then later on in the career, he had the controversy with Maidana. He went into the immediate rematch. You know, I would love to see, you know, Haney clear up the controversy and do an immediate rematch. And if not, and if Loma retires, then I'd love to see him with Shakur Stevenson or Tank Davis. But that's all I got for you guys. I think it was a great fight.
Right.
I really enjoy your guys' show, and I appreciate everything you guys do.
Thank you so much, my friend. We appreciate you. Going to El Paso, Beeb, 915. You're live.
What's going on, guys? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Vato.
All right. Well, first of all,
Vatos Locos.
Let me just Let me just start off by saying this, okay, before I get to the controversial part. Let me just say this. So as far as the fight itself, and I actually tweeted this, and I told Deeb this. I said, these are my favorite type of fights, like high-level chess, competitive fights. I love them even more than a Gotti War type fight. I love those too, don't get me wrong, but these are my personal favorite type of fights, right? So I loved the fight. It was high-level chess, like, you know, so I loved it, right? With that said, I did have Loma winning the fight. That's just my personal opinion. I'm just one man with an opinion. That's all I am. The one thing I have an issue with, right, again, it's just my opinion. The one thing I have an issue with is this idea that Haney chose, he just made this decision to make this hard on himself and quote-unquote fought Loma's fight, and that's the only reason it was competitive in any way, shape, or form. I don't buy that. I think Haney has trouble with southpaws. He can't land the jab at the same rate that he can against orthodox fighters from the southpaw position. I think he was having trouble with the angles. He told his own dad he can't see the punches coming from a certain angle, right? I think his body work and him being more aggressive was actually better for him than when he got on his back foot, right? There's this thing going on with the boxing public. People just believe that when a boxer plays prevent defense, that somehow that maximizes their ability to win. Not really. You got to be almost perfect to win in that fashion, and not everybody's Mayweather. And you know what? Not even Mayweather would do that, right? Mayweather would actually press forward at times, and that's what gave a lot of his opponents a lot of trouble, right? This idea that Haney has to box like Arislan de Lara and run around the ring, that's going to maximize his chances of winning, I just don't buy it. I think Haney fought the best possible fight he could have fought. And anyone who scored it for him, I'm not going to argue with anybody. I mean, it was a really close fight, really close contest. I had a 7-5 for Loma. I do agree there was a lot of swing rounds. It was a very difficult fight to score. However, consensus is consensus. A vast majority of fans, media, and most importantly, boxers, his peers, had Lomachenko winning this fight. So that should tell you everything. So, you know what I mean? Like, I think everyone needs to get away from – I heard a caller earlier say, oh, the LDBC. And, look, obviously, there's going to be pro-Haney channels. They're going to say Haney won no matter what. And it's going to be pro-Loma channels that are going to have him winning no matter what. But put all those people to the side. I do believe that your regular boxing fan that doesn't have any vested interest one way or the other, right? Most of them had Lomachenko winning this fight. And they are using the word robbery, right? Now, I'm not going to call it a robbery, me personally. I'm not. But here's the thing. Moretti's round 10 alone, all right, even though like if he would have given round 10 to Loma, I get that he would have had Haney winning anyway, all right? However, I still think he needs to explain how the hell he gave that round 10 to Devin Haney, because not even people I'm seeing people that scored an 8-4 for Haney and they still gave round 10 to Haney. So I'm trying to understand what Moretti's issue is, and I know what it is, all right? Jesse Rican said that the scorecard was filled in before the fight started. Well, that's not how it works. They scored round by round, right? I have reason to believe, it's just my opinion, that Moretti needed that coveted seventh round for Haney. And he saw the tide turning, and he wasn't sure how round 11 and 12 would go. He wasn't sure there would be a knockdown. He wasn't sure what would happen. So I do believe that he went ahead and just gave Haney that round 10 to try to secure it for him at that point, because he had no idea how round 11 and how round 12 was going to go. That's just my personal opinion. I think he front-loaded the card. Wow. I don't have an issue with the other two judges, but – it's either that or Moretti is – he just made a mistake, which could happen. He just made a mistake and he scored the wrong round for the wrong guy. That's all I have to say. Thank you for taking my call.
All right. Thank you so much, D-Style. Let's go to Baltimore here. Let me see, 410. That was interesting, Beeb. Like I said, we always talk about it doesn't, you know, I don't think boxers lay down at this level in fights. I don't think they bet against themselves and get knocked out and all that. I don't think there's a fix there because financially that just doesn't make sense. But the judges, the referee, they're not getting paid millions of dollars to be in there. You know, yeah, you could see something, you know, hey, if you just throw around our way, you yes, know.
I'm the king of conspiracy theorists.
Sure.
So I cannot criticize anyone who comes up with, you know, something where they think is wrong. Because I'm always popping those theories up out of, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. 410, Baltimore, you're live.
What up now? What's happening?
Jerry.
Hello, Jerry. How are you, Jerry?
Yeah.
How are you?
good.
Nice to hear from you, Jerry.
Okay.
Always so pleasant.
I thought it was a damn good fight. I was rooting for Loma. I was. Had Haney winning 115, 113. It's funny when you hear callers call in, and you can just tell it's emotion. They sit there and talk right. about how close the fight was, but then they claim it was a robbery. There was no robbery there. And then the other caller said, you know, Devin could have boxed and made, you know what, I thought Devin Haney, who I'm not really a big fan of due to his racist comments and a couple other things, but the fact is, I mean, he fought a good fight, man. He was coming forward most of the fight. He was raking Loma with body shots in each round, and they were clean body shots. You had to score them because they were clean, effective body shots. And Loma had his moments, but that's the thing with Loma. You get spurts, and his spurts, yeah, they were probably more effective than any one spurt that Haney had, but it just seemed to me Haney was beating him to the punch a little bit too much, and Loma was having trouble with the overall body strength of Devin Haney. And even in the clinches, Haney was, if anyone fought dirty in the clinches, it was him. But there wasn't that many clinches in the fight, so I don't know, you know. I wanted Loma to win, but I think he lost close, 115, 113.
How funny is that, Jerry scored the fight for Devin Haney. He was rooting for Loma. You know, I picked Devin Haney, and I scored the fight for, you know, for Loma. So it's just one of those things, man. It just depends on what you like, depends
That's
on what
it.
You were looking for. Depends on how you score the fights. That round 10, though, to me, there's no
Loma definitely. He
no
definitely
way
won that round.
You could have gave that to, yeah. Loma.
Yeah, I agree.
There's
I agree
no
with
way.
That. No way.
Yeah,
he I mean, that was
no
almost
question.
A borderline 2-point round almost. You know, it was, I mean, almost. You could have, you know, I could have seen that being a 2-point round. I think Haney only landed like 3 or 4 punches in that round, and Loma was all over him. He was hitting him with power shots, and that was the best dominant round of the fight that I've seen. But, like I say, you know, in an overall sense, over 12 rounds. But, you know, the fight probably going to have a Hagler, Leonard type of feel that, you know, maybe best off it should have been a draw. You know, and they run it back to do it again. Because I've seen the punch stats, and the punch stats kind of favored Loma, but they were a little, you know, it was quirky. Like, the percentage would be high for Haney, but Loma would have maybe landed a few more power shots, just a handful.
Yeah.
I mean, super close fight. But I thought it was a good fight, a very good tactical fight. Loma looked better than what I've seen him look recently. He don't got nothing to bow his head about. You know, in this fight, and, you know, it'd be interesting to see where he goes from there. I think a bigger shocker, and this fight's kind of taken away, is Katie Taylor losing in Ireland. I don't know if y'all seen that fight. I didn't get to see it, but.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that next year. Yeah, we're going to talk about that next year.
Yeah, that was a good fight. It was a very interesting fight.
Yeah. All right, Jerry, let me get running here because we got a lot of calls and still a lot of show
okay.
left. All right, man, thank you
Thanks.
So much.
Yep.
And I'm going to defend Jerry a little bit here because I saw somebody in the chat say, well, he called into another show and picked Devin Haney. That's never – Devin, he always picked Devin Haney to win this fight. Even when I was when we were going back and forth, I know he was a Lomachenko fan, but he said to Devin Haney – he thought Devin Haney was going to win this fight. So, yeah, for sure.
He said he, He said he was rooting for Loma. He didn't
right. And even a couple
he was
weeks
rooting
ago,
for Loma.
Even a couple weeks ago when we were talking about this, he called and he says, "Yeah, I like Loma, but I think Haney will win the fight. But I think it's going to be a better fight than what you think it'll be."
He thought it was going to be a very close fight, and he thought that Haney would edge it. But he clearly said that he was pulling for Loma. I mean, we get on Jerry a lot, but we're going to defend him when you know he's right.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, he was for sure right on that one. Yeah,
that's right.
Let's see here. Let's talk about, okay, let's get on the rest of the card. Before we go back to the phones here, let me get back on the rest of this card here, and we'll zoom through it because there wasn't a whole lot of anything major here. Oscar Valdez beat Adam Lopez by unanimous decision, 98-92, 98-91, 97-93. I was a little disappointed in this fight, B, but I expected Lopez to give him a better fight than this, especially after he fought so hard in that first fight. But this was, Oscar just had this one. I mean, it just boils down to
punching
levels,
power, man. Punching power too. Like,
he was all over that guy, man.
Yeah.
Raymond Muratalo knocked out Jeremiah Nakatila in two rounds. They were lightweights. Junko Nakatani versus Andrew Maloney. I was really looking forward to this fight, and man, I mean, this was one-sided, man. Nakatani smashes Maloney with a one-punch KO in the 12th. Let me tell you guys something. If you haven't seen this KO, you've got to go watch it, okay?
It was scary.
Yeah. Yeah, it really was. It was great. I mean, it was just a great punch, man. I mean, it really was. Omar Rodriguez, thank you so much, my friend. He says, do you guys think there's some benefit to have the judges meet with the fighters the same way the referee does? That way everyone is involved on the same page to be, you know, as to what is being looked at. No, I don't. I think that's a bad idea because, you know, when the reporters, you know, listen, these fighters, they're regular people. You know what I mean? You go to a fighter, you talk to him, you get a story of his background, you're hearing him talk while you're at these meetings, and all of a sudden, man, hey, you become a fan of this guy. I like this guy. I like the way he thinks. So you know what? This guy just seems like an arrogant jerk. No, I think that's horrible. I think that the judges should be kept as far out of it as possible. They don't need to. They shouldn't talk to the fighters. They shouldn't talk to the promoter. They shouldn't talk to anybody. They don't talk to anybody. And again, I've said this before. I don't think the judges should be at ringside. I think they should each be in different rooms with the monitors on, watching the TV shots. Because again, TV shots are going to be much better than one angle at ringside. But you know, hey, listen, man, that's just my opinion. Did you know Nico Ali Walsh versus Danny Rosenberger? Did you know Nico Ali Walsh is Ali's grandson? I didn't have any idea, man. I was like, wow, because they only mention it every 5 seconds, and I really wasn't sure, you know. Anyway, he fought to a draw, 76 for Rosenberg, 77-75 for – or 76-76 the draw, and then 77-75 for Ali, and then 77-75 for Rosenberg. So there you go. It was a draw. Not the best fight in the world. Just kind of, I don't know. I'm not big on Nico Ali Walsh. I don't like discredit anything he does because I think he's doing it the right way. He's not trying to be boastful or anything like that. You know, just kind
he knows,
of.
He knows who he is.
Yeah.
He knows who he is and where he's going. So, yeah. I agree with that.
In cash flow, Floyd Diaz versus Luis Fernando Saavedra. Floyd Diaz wins a lopsided unanimous decision over Saavedra. And the reason I point this out, Cashflow, is Cashflow Diaz. He was on the Mayweather 24/7. I don't even know what fight it was for, but it was when he was a kid. He looked like he was about 8 or 10 years old. And they were throwing, but Floyd introduced him as Cashflow, and then he had some other guys there with him or whatever. But I saw him. I was like, what? I was like, that can't be the same kid. Turns out it's the same guy. So there you go. On the zone, Chantel Cameron versus Katie Taylor for Cameron's undisputed women's junior welterweight championship. Beep. Did these two fight in lingerie?
Eric,
then I'm not interested. Then I'm not interested.
Eric,
I didn't see the fight. I ain't going to watch the
fight.
Moved.
You would have been moved if you saw the crowd and how enthusiastic and how electric they were.
Come on.
All those Irish fans, 13,000 screaming fans, young women in there who were inspired by Katie Taylor. How could
Stop
you
it.
Just disregard all that, man? I was getting goosebumps listening to the intros. Watching watching the theatrics of the beginning of the intros for Katie Taylor and Chantel Cameron. It was beautiful. It's a beautiful event.
stop it. Matter
please.
With you.
Have some decorum here.
So did you think the decision went the right way?
I actually had this fight a draw, like one of the judges. One judge had it 95-95, another judge, the other two judges had it 96-94. I thought it was a close fight. I thought it was a very close fight. I thought it could have gone either way. I was a little surprised that Cameron got the decision in Ireland. I thought it was close enough where you could have edged it to Katie, but I had it a draw. I was impressed with Cameron's head movement. You know, she was very defensively responsive. She's very elusive in this fight. I thought they both fought at close quarters for great parts of this fight. And Katie was throwing a lot of quick combinations. But like I said, Chantel was slipping and sliding and parrying a lot of these shots. But still, like, there was some decent exchanges. This was a very exciting fight. But one thing that Cameron did better than Katie was the body shots. Katie was going a little bit headhunting here. Wake up! Come on.
Oh, sorry.
Come on.
Sorry, I didn't know. Are you done? I didn't. We're not talking about the same fight, are we? We moved on, right?
Show some respect.
Did we move on?
But,
we moved on, right?
Yeah, and I thought that Taylor wasn't using her jab as much as she normally does, but Cameron was, and it was a very busy jab. It was offsetting Taylor a little bit, and she was able to get inside off of her jab. And yeah, I was just impressed with the defense of Cameron. I thought that Katie would be able to get to her a little bit more than she did. Even though she got to her, I thought she'd get to her even more and be a little bit more consistent with those shots. But again, she went headhunting, where Cameron was throwing body shots up close, and she was throwing short uppercuts, where Katie was kind of going over the top a lot with her shots. So it was a great fight. Could have gone either way, but I had it a draw.
All right. G-Funky was in the chat. He said he's on the online. I don't see him. He said it was 916, I believe it was.
Oh, okay. Stay on, G-Funky. We'll let you on.
I don't see him. I don't see him, though.
Is that Santeo Media that's on? Call in, G, if you want to call in. I mean,
yeah,
I
call
can't
in if you
want to
call in. But,
call in.
Yeah.
Feel free to call in anybody, really.
There you go. All right. Let's see here. Upcoming fights. B, what's coming up next week? I don't think anything's coming up next week.
No, Mauricio Lara versus what's his name? Frank.
Lee Wood.
Lee Wood, yes.
Lee Wood, there we go.
Yeah, Lee All Wood right. and Mauricio Lara.
Yeah,
great
on
fight.
The zone, yeah. Mauricio Lara
that's
versus Lee Wood. Yeah, that's pretty much it. And then if, let's see here, ESPN Plus has got a 130 card from Belfast, Ireland. Michael Conlan versus Luis Alberto Lopez. For Lopez's IBF featherweight title, that should be a good one too.
Good one too.
Anytime Conlan fights, man, that's must-see TV, man. Right?
Absolutely.
He's a good fighter. Let's go over these news and rumors. And I'll get right back to the phones here. Jermell Charlo has been told that he must fight Tim Zhu no later than September 30th. Beeb, they put the champ on notice. What are your thoughts?
I have a feeling that fight still is not going to happen. I think he's probably going to vacate those titles and maybe move up to middleweight.
I don't think he wants to fight him.
Yeah, something's telling me he doesn't want to fight him. I don't know why. Maybe he wants to go up to middleweight. Maybe he just feels as though he's done all he can do. Maybe he's getting tired of being undisputed, complaining about the sanction, fees he has to pay. I don't know.
Yeah.
See what happens.
I hate being undisputed. Anthony Castellanos, thank you so much. He said, people calling Loma past his prime versus Ortiz, and I think boxing fans and analysts should really stop bashing fighters. Long layoff, and the ring rust is real. There you go.
Yeah.
All right.
Sure.
All right. King Ryan, baby. King Ryan back in the news. Ryan Garcia hires Derek James as his new trainer, Beeb. I can't stand this move. I don't think Derek James is a good fit. But if what Goosen said was true, you know, about him not really getting to the game plan and you have to collaborate with him, he's not going to let you kind of fully take control. I tell you what now, man, there's no trainer out there going to be able to help that guy.
Yeah, I'm a little bit skeptical on that as well.
Listen, man, you do not know more than the trainer. That's why you hire a trainer, because you don't know more, all right? It's not good, man. Yeah, Hamed said he's jumping from one trainer to the other. I get it, man. And Andy Ruiz had a very weird week this week. Andy Ruiz claims he was hacked by his ex. He posted the following on Twitter this week and then stated he got hacked. He allegedly wrote, "I want to share with you what my life behind camp is really like. I love to drink codeine and smoke weed all day long. I also love purchasing prostitutes. All right. After this is going on, meetings to clean my blood to make sure to come out clean when VADA comes through my training camps." The tweet was instantly deleted, but it stayed there long enough to spread like wildfire, apparently. You know, and he had a picture of him, I guess his arm with an IV in it or whatever. I don't know, man. I don't know. Listen, I don't care if it was hacked or not. Clearly, I mean, maybe you're involved in some of this stuff. I don't know, man.
I don't know. The pictures had you in them, so I don't know.
The pictures had him with like two big bags of what looked like weed to me. You know, I mean, it didn't look like oregano, and it didn't look, you know, I mean, like weed. I don't know. And he's sitting there holding like two huge, like Ziploc bags. You know. Jesus. Andy's admitted to buying hookers. Somebody in the chat says, Andy Ruiz leaving the Robbie life, ringside Robbie life. There you go. There you go. All right, let's go to area code 805. I believe this is California. 805, you're live.
Hey, guys, what's up?
Hey, Nacho.
I just want to point out. Yeah. Hey, what's
going
on? How
you doing, Nacho? How's everything going,
brother?
All right,
Beeb.
Stop it, Beeb.
All right. So I just want to say that there's a couple of callers that basically made the point that I made, that I wanted to make, which was that, Loma, to me, was the one initiating a lot of the offense. To me, the fact that the smaller guy was able to walk down the supposedly bigger, heavier, stronger fighter, and the stronger fighter, you know, all he was really able to do was land the occasional jab and then land the occasional body shot, but not really much of anything else consistently. And then, and he's sitting in his corner in between rounds telling his father that, you know, he's basically befuddled. He doesn't know where the shots are coming from and he can't see them. And he's breathing hard and he's sucking wind. I mean, there's just too many factors, in my opinion, that it just showed that Loma should have won the fight. The fact that, like people pointed out, the whole thing with Moretti giving Haney the 10th round was just nuts, because that was the most blatant round that Loma won, clearly, where he literally dominated that entire round and Haney didn't do much of anything. And so it's just really frustrating to see a guy who went in there, did his job, basically showed Haney as a very limited guy in a lot of ways, but yet ended up getting basically screwed out of the win. It's just really frustrating, and it's completely unfortunate for him and his career, because now where does Loma go from this? Like, he's going to get a lot of sympathy from people, but in reality, with no belts to kind of hold his cachet, he doesn't have a whole lot going for him as far as like enticing other guys to want to get in there with him. And it sucks, because he got this win taken from him in order to prop up Haney. But it's like somebody said last night on a chat that I was on. To me, giving Haney this gift of a win doesn't do him any favors, because now the court of public opinion has turned on him. And now when he sits there and tries to say that he's the guy at 35, a lot of people are going to be like, nah, wait a minute. You just won a very, very fortunate decision against a guy who a lot of people were saying was, you know, old and washed up. And so it's going to call into question how good he really is at this point. I don't see him sticking around at 35. I think he eventually probably drops all the belts and moves up to 40. But it's like you guys were saying, there are no real easy touches at 40 for Haney. And him and his father are really going to him and his father are really going to have a tough time finding guys at 140 that they could put in there with him that he legitimately could beat. I mean, it's going to be a tough sell for him to be anywhere near what he is at 135. He's not going to be that at 140. So, I mean, I don't know.
No,
I don't think that win did Haney any favors last night. And I think him and his camp know it, and that's why they're saying, oh, we're not giving this dude a rematch, because I think they know that they were very fortunate to get that decision last night. And then you guys talked about it right now. Man, that Nakatani knockout of Maloney, that was crazy. He was just peeing off on him. And I honestly think if I'm on Maloney's team, I don't let him fight the rest of this year. He needs a long rest after that fight, because he got beat up the last three or four rounds of that fight before the knockout. And honestly, they should have stopped the fight after the knockdown in the 11th. Like, he was done. You could see he really had nothing left. His corner should have pulled the plug after the 11th, but they let him go out there, and he ended up getting dropped and knocked out. And it's a bad knockout. I just hope that they don't let him get back in the ring anytime soon, give him a long rest, and just kind of let him regroup and go back to the drawing board. But now Nakatani becomes a big player at 15, and he's such a huge guy for the weight class that there's not going to be a whole lot of guys, you know, angling to fight him anytime soon. I don't think Estrada is going to want to fight him. I don't think Chocolatito is going to want to fight him. I don't think any of the old veterans in that division are going to want any piece of him. He's going to be a nightmare to deal with in that division. So, all right, guys, that's all I had to say.
All right, Nacho.
All right,
man. Thank you so much for calling in here.
Thanks, Nacho.
516. I believe this is New York, Long Island, maybe. 516, you're live.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, what's up?
What's up, man? So a couple things. You know, I know everybody talked about the fight being, you know, close, et cetera. To me, in my opinion, I think, you know, like I said, Devin won the early rounds in the fight. And if you look at it, Lomachenko in his last few fights has been a slow starter. And this is like a trend with him where he gives up the early rounds and then he tries to come on later in the round. I think the same thing happened here. A lot of people are not, like, giving Haney the credit he deserved for the early rounds because, you know, he was throwing some short uppercuts in there, some short hooks and body shots in the early rounds, whereas, you know, Loma was throwing those flurries, but were they really landing, you know? And you know, yeah, he came on later in the fight, but at that point I think it was a little bit too late, which is why I scored the fight 7-5. It wasn't – the scorecards weren't as bad as people are making it out to be. You know, it was a close fight. It wasn't a robbery, and Lomachenko will be okay. You know, he just didn't fight the right fight early on, you know. So I just think Devin Haney won the fight, and it's really not that bad of a controversy. As far as Shakur Stevenson goes, I think that, you know, I keep hearing this guy's name come up with Haney a lot, and I think people are kind of like overrating Shakur. His style, like, you know, if you look at Haney and Shakur, Haney, he may not be as skilled as Shakur Stevenson, but he is almost as good as a boxer as Shakur while being bigger. And Shakur Stevenson does not have the bully style to disrupt Haney. So I still think Shakur loses Haney. He's not a Lomachenko. So I think people are just overrating Shakur Stevenson. I don't think he beats Haney. I think a better fight that people should be talking about is like Frank Martin versus Haney. I think that's a better fight. But that's my thoughts on the fight. And then also, one thing before I go, because I see people throwing this out a lot also. They want to bring up Lomachenko's age and height. And, like, boxers are supposed to get kudos points or, you know, get sympathy for being, you know, genetically inferior, I guess. You know, Mayweather was almost – he was 36 when he beat Canelo. Crawford is 35 right now, still knocking guys out. Deontay Wilder is like 35, knocking guys out. So I don't understand why people keep throwing in this age thing. Like, Lomachenko is supposed to get credit for taking on the fight at 35 years old. Like, I don't know where that comes from. He's 35. If you're good, you're good. You know, age doesn't matter. Terrence Crawford's 35. He's still knocking guys out. So just throw that out the window. That's my thoughts, so guys.
All right. Thank you so much. Let's go to 702 Las Vegas. 702, you're live.
Hey, what's up, guys? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello.
What's happening, man?
Oh, hey, guys. Hey, what's going on, Beav? How's it going, guys, man? I've been listening to you, Beav, since way back in the day, the boxing voice, man. So it's good to love the show. But
thank you,
so for me, this fight, yeah, for me, this fight, like, I didn't have any dog in the fight. I didn't have any money on it. It didn't matter to me. Didn't really care who won. I just wanted to see a good fight. Part of me wanted to see Devin win because I wanted to see him put some pressure on Tank to take that fight. But, I mean, I don't see it. I had it 7-5 Loma. Even the round that was the closest for me was, the ninth round here? But I even gave that round to Devin. My thing is I'm not here, just my opinion, I'm not here to change people's mind. Like, boxing fans, it's kind of like politics and religion. It doesn't matter. You're going to, whatever your opinion is, you're going to stay set on. But I just had, after the fight, to me, it didn't look like, you know, Devin didn't look like he won that fight. I have a hard time. And if you had it the other way, I'm not saying robbery, but I feel, I was even watching with one of the hardest of hardcore Devin fans, my buddy, and we had the volume down and everything, and he was like, man, I can't see a way Devin won this fight. And after the fight, I didn't like, you know, when they asked Bill about the rematch, he was like, oh, no, we don't need a rematch. This fight wasn't close. Kind of reminded me after the Corte and De La Hoya fight, when that was a close fight, and they asked Oscar afterward, and Oscar told him, like, it didn't really look, wasn't that good of a fight. It wasn't that close. Mm-hmm. I don't want that rematch.
You know what that's called for.
I think that Loma deserves a rematch at the least. Moving forward, I mean, I'm not going to take any credit away from Devin. I didn't see him win this fight. I watched it a couple times. I'd like to see him stay at top rank because I don't see Hank's not going to fight him. I just don't. LRB and them, they're already putting up roadblocks, saying all this craziness. I don't see it. I'd like to see him stay, you know, move up to 140, you know, or there's just more opportunity there between Shakur and all that. I agree with y'all as well. 140, I think he's in trouble. Them dudes are killers up there, right. And they can all crack, you know. And after what I've seen with Devin, yeah, he recovered, you know, Lenares fight when he got cracked. He recovered well, and he was getting clean, yep. Hit clean against Loma. He was getting hit and clean against Loma, like y'all say too. I've always said, I don't think he's as good of a boxer as people say. I don't think he's defensively sound. I think he gets hit a lot. And last night kind of changed my opinion because I had Loma always beating Tank, the more skilled fighter. But if Tank lands those clean shots, I think Devin's in trouble. So,
for sure.
I mean, if he lands that clean, you know, it's – and then I don't agree with the last caller. That's – you know, this is just my opinion. I'm not trying to call nobody out. I think Shakur beats Devin – a lot easier, like he said. I think he said it was an easier fight than the Loma fight. So, you know, it was crazy to me how everybody was starting to hate on Shakur for what he did in the ring. Like, he's doing what he's supposed to do. He's calling the dude out, trying to get a fight. You know, I'm also not a proponent. Like, I'm a body punch guy too. So I noticed all the body punching. I gave Devin credit for all of it. A lot of people don't at times. A lot of judges don't. But it's just funny to me how all these body punch people are coming and yelling body punches now. I've seen it in the past with, say, for instance, like someone like Canelo that invests in the body. They don't give him credit for those body shots, but all of a sudden it's different. So, you know, it is what it is. It was a good fight. I hate that it kind of ended in a little bit of controversy. Devin is going to take some criticism going forward. Unfortunately, Loma's probably not ever going to get a shot again. And then the judges' scorecards are just crazy to me. Like, I don't want to get too long-winded, and I'll finish it up. But I think I got my scorecard. The judges, like, the 116-112 judge was what was that Moretti? I believe Dave Moretti gave Devin 7-10.
Tom Moretti.
What the hell? And then, you know, Tim Cheatland gave Devin 3-6. And then what we got, the other judge gave Devin 4-7.
115,
113,
yeah.
I just, and I could, okay, 115, 113, either way I could see. But the 116, 112 where he gave Devin the 10th round, I don't know what freaking fight he was watching. 10 and 11 were clear Loma rounds, not even close. So, you know, it is what it is. It just, and it does kind of suck because I have friends that are kind of casual boxing fans that tune in, and it makes it real hard for me to defend boxing as a hardcore.
Yeah.
And they're like, this is why I don't like boxing, because we always get these bullshit decisions, and people are all, they're saying, hey, well, the judges scored it this way. That's, I'll say, okay, well, that's a terrible barometer, because last weekend the judges scored the fight for Rolly, and we all know he lost that fucking fight. So,
yeah. All right,
you know.
All right,
so anyway,
Mr. Vegas, we're going to get going here. Thank you so much for calling, man. We appreciate it. Let's go to Dallas here. I believe this is Dallas 214. You're live.
What's up? It's the inevitable.
What's happening?
D-Block.
Inevitable.
D-Block. D-Block.
What's up, guys? Y'all good, man? Y'all having a good time?
What's happening, man?
Of course, man.
Oh, man. What?
Of course.
Was that a great fight or what? I mean, shit, man. We come out with controversy. We come out with judges. I mean, we come out with everything, man. Even the press, you know, the press conference was great. The weigh-in was awesome. I mean, this is what boxing is all about. This is what we want. We want controversy. Why not? Shit. Haney went in there. He went in there, the younger guy, the big dog. He's supposed to go in there and annihilate the 34-year-old. But guess what? The 34-year-old turned the time. He turned time around. And he said, you know what? I got me one great fight left in me. That's why they call me Lomachenko, the Matrix. I am the man, and I got a plan. And I'm about to show Haney, the young dog that want to be like Floyd, I'm going to show him what a real boxer does. But guess what? It was great. I loved it. Did y'all love it or not?
I loved it.
I thought it was a great fight, man. Very good fight.
I mean, was this a better fight than Ryan Garcia versus Tank Davis? And I love Ryan Garcia. I'm committed to Ryan Garcia.
That was a good fight. Listen, man, that was
I'm
a good fight, too. That's a good fight, too, man.
This is better,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, I think so. Skill-wise, for sure, yeah.
So
I'm going to say it like this. I'm going to say it like this. Big Head, Tank Davis, Baltimore, Baltimore's legit son that they love so much, while his ass was arrested at home, chilling, eating some cookies, eating his cereal, with Calvin Ford hugging him and saying, youngin', he's next. Look, man, Tank Davis ain't going to do shit, man. I'm gonna be honest with you. He don't control his own life. He don't even control his own career. He got Floyd behind him right there, picking and choosing who they're going to fight. Easy-ass fight. Do I think Tank Davis is going to take on Shakur Stevenson? Hell no. Do I think he's going to take on Haney? Hell no. You know why? Because he ain't a real man. He's a little boy in a big man's world. And I promise you, Devin Haney would destroy Tank Davis. Last night was a great fight. Why? Because we needed it in boxing. The controversy that we have now is even better. Bring it on. Devin Haney, should he give Lomachenko a rematch? He should. Why not? Why don't you want to see a fight like that again? But it's not going to happen. It's not in the cards. Homie's going to 140, and then from there he's going to fight Rolly. He's going to fight Rolly for that WBA strap, super strap, and he's going to destroy Rolly, and he's going to be in there with the big dogs at 140. What do y'all think about that?
All right, man, we're going to let you go. We'll talk about it here in a second. Yeah, you tell you what, you know, he's going to go to 140. I think we're all in agreement there. I think Lomachenko fights for another one of those belts. I think Lomachenko gets belts back. Don't get me wrong. Everybody's talking like this is the end of Lomachenko. There's no options. Trust me, there's tons of options here. If I were Haney, though, if you want to go up to 140, stay with Top Rank. Stay with Top Rank. They got the guys over there, you know, and I think they're better equipped at 140. Maybe he crosses the street and tries to fight Tank, but that fight, I don't know that it happens. I don't know, you know, because Tank would have to move up too. Tank's good at 135. Beeb, you're muted.
I wouldn't be surprised if he stayed down at 135 for one more fight, just for the Tank fight.
If I were him, I'd be moving up.
He probably should be moving up from a health standpoint.
Yeah,
health standpoint, yes, but he may be tempted to stay down for the money one more time.
Yeah, I would agree.
Could be a bad move for him, but who knows?
Yeah, I think so too. 404, this is Atlanta, I believe. 404, you're live.
Hey, how's it going? This is Coach Eddie. How's it going?
Coach Eddie, how's it going?
Hold on, buddy.
Oh, I'm good. I'm good. Good fight last night. We watched the fight, but I had Haney winning 7-5. It's a lot of things that just not boxing alone that kind of influence the way people think. You know, the way they played this fight, it was black against white, Christian against Muslim, old against young. Every possible issue that divide people was brought into this fight, this element right here. Cocky against humble. You feel what I'm getting at? Even me,
yep.
I'm a Devin Haney fan, and I'm an older guy. I'm a retired boxer. I'm 45 years old. That pissed me off when he pushed Lomachenko, even though I like Devin Haney, because, hey, I remember when I was an older guy and young guy, I said, I'm going to show this little young whippersnapper what I still got. So that kind of turned me off right there. So at the end of the day, Devin Haney is catching a lot of flack just because of how he carried himself, how he painted himself, which I think he done it on purpose because, like, at the end of the day, it's like wrestling. You got a good guy, you got a bad guy. So he said, I'm going to put on the black hat. Screw it. You know, I tried being nice, tried to be humble. People still don't accept me. I'm just going to go ahead and be a complete heel, complete jerk with Lomachenko at the fight and let the chips fall where they may, which is every reason to rob Devin Haney. Because everybody hated him. When he walked into that ring, everybody hated him. So if anything, I would think that they would have, you know, took the fight from Devin. If anything, I mean, Lomachenko is kind of like Pacquiao. He's endeared. People love him, a humble guy. Freaking, you know, the way they painted him, you know, good guy, family man, war veteran, you know, good guy all around. Never heard anything bad happening with him. But like I said, it was a good fight. I went rewatched the fight, 7-5. I think, you know, Lomachenko had fought in spurts. At the end of the day, he fought in spurts. And I think Devin, but 10 of those rounds, they landed the exact same amount of punches. And that's the old saying goes, you have to beat the champion decisively. And those a lot of rounds were very, very hard to score. Very hard to score. It's like, I mean, I was watching the fight live. I'm like, I don't know who the heck won that fight. So as a judge, you got to make a snap judgment, and you got to be able to be professional enough to even, you know, to disregard all the oohs and the ahs and the bias, you know, the bias crowd, because that was not a pro Devin Haney crowd. That was a pro Lomachenko crowd. And that's easily, they didn't get swayed. But, you know, I think Devin Haney had a lot of options. Lomachenko had a lot of options. He can step right in and fight Tank if he wants to, you know, because this fight right here, you know, people are going to root for him. That would be a good massive fight. Devin Haney can step right in and fight Ryan Garcia. They got back history together. They've known each other since the amateurs, so there's a lot of options that these guys can do. But that's all I had. I think the right guy got the decision. I know it's an unpopular decision, but at the end of the day, I mean, it's boxing. I've seen worse robbery before. You know, Lennox Lewis, the Holyfield one, that was the freaking worst robbery I've ever seen in my life. Tavares Cloud and Gabriel Campillo, Tavares Cloud's mother fainted when they read that he won the fight. I don't know if you've ever seen that before. That's probably the worst decision I ever seen in boxing. So his mother was literally standing in the middle of the ring. They announced Tavares Cloud as the winner. She fainted, fell on the ground in the goddamn ring. Now, you know he didn't win that fight. But that's the worst thing I've ever seen in my life, man.
But like Coach Eddie, thank you so much, man. We appreciate the call. Thank you so much, my friend. Don't be a stranger, man. Call back. Got some good takes here. Mello, thank you so much, my friend. He says, great, great fight with super close rounds, difficult to score. Hope it does good pay-per-view numbers. Great show as always. Steve, how do you think this does on the pay-per-view?
500,000.
You think it does that much?
Yeah.
I don't know that it does that much, I'll be honest. I mean, I hope, yeah. You know, listen, I hope it does well. The fighters deserve it. I mean, the fighters deserve it. Yeah, I don't know that it does that much.
How much do you think it does, 300?
Yeah, I think around there. I think around 350, somewhere in there. I don't think it does half. But, hey, maybe, I'll tell you what, it should, because they put on a good show last night.
Originally I thought Tank and Ryan was going to do 800,000, but then as it started getting closer toward the end,
I was saying
this thing could do a million.
Yeah.
And they actually did like 1.4 or something like that.
Oh, it was nuts. It was nuts, right? Those two guys, man, that social media, those guys, man. I believe this is Hamed 111. Hamed, is this you?
Yeah, how's it going, guys?
Hamed, I know it was you.
All right,
what's up?
Nothing much. I did score it for Haney 7-5, but I know this is a bit of a funny cliche, but if I had a gun to my head, I thought you could make a real valid case that was a draw. Because when the fight finished, I thought, even though I got a 7-5, I might be in the minority. But to me, what was telling was round 12. Loma took that off. And the last time I remember something like that happened was Marquez and Pacquiao in 2011. I thought would have at least got a draw, won that fight. But in the 12th round, he kind of took his foot off the gas. And that, I think, swayed the fight towards Pacquiao. It wasn't exactly the same, but to me, this fight, it seemed like Lomachenko came strong towards the end of the fight, but I thought that losing that last round made it close enough where he could go 7-5 either way or a draw. But the first six rounds were hard to score. I gave, I think, Haney 3 out the first six, but then I think Lomachenko started dominating the later rounds. I just don't think that was a robbery, because if you could say it was 7-5 for Loma, then surely you could go 7-5 the other way. So I wouldn't call that a robbery, although I do think some other fights were robberies, like Kovalev, Ward, Golovkin, Canelo won as well. I could see that. Castano, Charlo, I actually thought that was a robbery. I wouldn't call this a robbery. But I think Haney kind of got exposed, if I'm being serious, because Lomachenko looked like a featherweight, and Haney, I don't think, wants a rematch. I don't know what you guys think about that.
Oh, he clearly didn't want the rematch. Clearly didn't want it. Both him and his dad both said, you know, his dad says, oh, no, we won the fight big. You know, we're not, no rematch here, you know. He said if they want to do a rematch, they'll have to really prove it to him because he knows they won the fight big and this and that. And yeah, that's code for you ain't getting that rematch. So there it is. All right, Hamed,
yeah.
We're going to get one in. We got one more call left. 775. This is Nevada, everywhere but Vegas. Here we go. You're live.
What's up, fellas?
Hey, what's up? Who are we speaking with?
My name is Sam. So peep this. I called you guys the day after the Tank and Garcia fight, and y'all disagreed with me whenever I said Loma was going to win this fight, and y'all pretty much told
probably,
me he didn't
yeah.
have a chance. Yeah, y'all told me he pretty much didn't have a chance, and I told you
guys.
That's
what I said, too. That's exactly what I said.
Yep, you guys said the younger Haney was going to enforce his will and all of this stuff, and I'm not here to knock you guys, but, man, when you're an underdog and you're a champion, and at the end of the day, I feel like Haney's he's a kid. He's 24 years old, and I told myself he's going to get humbled in this fight, and I think his heels, he was on his heels the entire night.
Mm-hmm.
I had to score 115 to 113 Loma. I believe that after 8, it was about tied. And then I felt Loma had 9, 10, and 11. And then, of course, he took off 12 because I feel like he didn't need it at that point. But the interesting thing about it is whether he took the 12th off or not, one judge had it 116, 112. He couldn't do anything about that round regardless. That's how lopsided these judges were. And if you look at the three scorecards from the judges, they all had Loma losing the first round. But if you go back and watch it, Loma dominated that first round. And then Haney came back in the second round. So, honestly, after looking at the three scorecards, Loma was up against the judges the whole night. It wasn't against Haney. There was nothing Loma could do. I think their decision was made before the fight even started. Like I said, Haney had he was on his heels all night. Loma looking like the grown man of the fight the entire time. He kept his composure. There was times where Haney was in a corner and his dad was talking to him, and he just looked confused. I remember at one point after the 10th, his dad told him, oh, you got this fight. And Haney looked at him like, really, Dad? It was insane.
Why yeah, people say that, man. I tell you what, I had the fight scored 116-112 for Lomachenko, and I – told everybody within an earshot, anybody who would listen, Devin Haney is going to go in there and he's going to wash this guy. It's not even going to be close. I'm thinking 10-2, 9-3 at the very closest. And I ended up scoring the fight for Loma, man. I thought he won the fight last night.
Man, you were an honest guy, man. A lot of people couldn't admit that. And that's the thing, too. Like I said, when you're an underdog and you're a true champion, and not only that, is Haney was nothing compared to the power puncher of Teofimo and Jermaine Ortiz. And Loma literally fought tougher opponents, heavier opponents when it comes to, like, power hitting opposed to Devin Haney. So I knew everything was set up for Loma to win. Only thing that was rigged against it was the three judges, Cheetah, Marietti, those guys, man. I don't know what they were on, but
well, I'll be honest, man, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense if because Loma was, you know, if you say Loma's the house fighter, who's gonna pay off these judges? Think about it. Top Rank has got the, you know, if they want to see Loma win, it would make sense that Top Rank would pay off the judges to have Loma win. I you know, listen, man, while Moretti's 10th round card was a little bit disconcerting, I don't know if the house fighter was supposed to win. I would have said that Loma was supposed to win that fight because this is the last fight on Haney's contract. Haney could leave after this. It wouldn't make sense if he stayed if he was going to go to 140, but no matter. That's, you know, it would make sense that if somebody was going to get paid off, it would have been paid off in the favor of Loma, not necessarily Haney, because Loma's still under contract with those guys.
Yeah. Absolutely. And the thing is, being here in Vegas, I know that late sharp money came in on Loma. So at plus 220 and plus 240, that's a real big underdog to pay. I'm not really, you know, trying to get into those politics of the gambling, but per se, I feel like only, you know, about three people in the world really thought Haney won, and they happened to find him, and they called him judges. So that's all I got to say.
There you go. All right, Sam, thank you so much, man. We appreciate it. Let's go to Philly Drew real quick. 267,
what's
you're
up,
live.
Guys?
Hey, what's up?
I have to thank you guys for actually taking my call.
Yeah,
and
of course.
You said it was your last call and everything. But to me, this was a robbery. I really thought Haney was confused with the footwork all night. He got beat to the punch all night. He got manned by the smaller guy all night. He was the one doing the pushing, not Devin Haney. Like, the power wasn't there for Haney. Like, he was having success to the body. That's all he was having. And, like, I scored at 9-3. I gave him the 5th, 8th, and the 12th. I saw it 9-3. I could say 8-4 and everything, but I couldn't see him winning no more than 4 rounds in this fight, Devin Haney. He just had a real bad game plan, and his dad should not be the head trainer anymore because his dad almost in this fight. Like, I thought the best Devin Haney was with Ben Davidson, but he moves up to 140. All his advantages are gone. And yeah. I was on El Chini last night, shout out to Chicano and those guys and everything. And I was asked, do you think the power comes with Haney at 140? If Haney didn't have power at 135, he ain't having power at 140, because if Maranaji didn't have power at 140, he damn sure didn't have it at 147. So this was really a fight that Loma won. And even Harvey Dock had a look on his face when it was knocked Devin Haney won, saying, wow, and everything. He ain't getting no rematch. They don't want no smoke with Loma again. They don't want no smoke with Shakur Stevenson, because Shakur Stevenson will bully Devin Haney all night. Jermaine Ortiz will bully Devin Haney all night. And they both beat Devin Haney. This is just... Devin Haney is completely exposed, and even if he went back to that tall fighter style, people know how to get around it now, regardless. Like, what else can Devin Haney do? And that fight before that, the Chantel and the Katie Taylor fight, Katie Taylor grew old overnight. I think she gassed out. Like, if you see the last two rounds, she was clinching. She was clinching repeatedly. After every couple punches, she would clinch Chantel Cameron. I had 7-3 Chantel.
Wow. Thanks, Philly Drew. We appreciate the call, man. Thank you so much, my friend. Did you think that Katie Taylor gassed out? Because she only fought 20 minutes, right?
She got a little tired there because she was,
You mean maybe like 5 minutes in or?
I mean, come on, Eric.
Because, I mean, that's about a fourth of the fight right there.
I mean, these girls are fighting for their lives in there, Eric.
That's what it looked like, huh? So let me ask you, so Katie Taylor got gassed with 20 minutes, you know, 20 minutes to work? Do you imagine,
love boxing, Eric.
Can you imagine if you went in there and you were gassed by 10 a.m.?
Eric, you get tired walking down a flight of stairs. Don't be making fun of Katie Taylor. Come on. Please. What are you doing over there?
I got one of those chairs that take me down. What are you talking about, you know? Jamie Nieto, thank you so much, my friend. He said, I know Loma was technically the house fighter, the house fight tree, but can he case be made that Top Rank was hoping to re-sign Devin? Yeah, I think so. I think you can make that case.
Anything's possible.
Anything's possible, but yeah, I mean, it would have made more sense because, like I said, if it was Devin's last fight, if Devin had like three more fights, I can make that argument. But Devin didn't have three more fights. That's it for him. And then Lomachenko's still under contract with him. So, you know, I mean, if it was going to be the other way, then I would think that, you know, hey, that Loma would have got the nod, not Haney. But that didn't work out. I think the judges scored it the best way they knew how. I don't know that anybody was really, you know, hearing all that. I can't explain that 10th round. I can't explain the 10th round. But overall, you know, the guy who won the fight, you know, he won the fight. I don't think he won the fight, but you can't. Again, man, so many people saw this so many different ways that it's hard to call robbery on this for sure.
He'll probably still do Loma versus Shakur, I think.
I think so. Or if Haney moves, all those belts become fractured again, why not do that fight? Why not do Loma gets a title and then Shakur gets a title, and then all of a sudden now we can build that back up, you know? So
Loma looks great coming off of this fight. So
he really does, man. I mean, if anything, his stock moved up. I thought Haney's stock plummeted after this fight, even with a win. I think that sometimes when you win, you really lose. So there you go.
Yeah.
All right.
Gotcha.
All right, guys, that'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. As always, you can catch Joe Habib on Twitter at JHabib1. And find our YouTube channel at Ringside Reporter Live. Habib's doing a bunch of stuff on there. It's great. He's doing shorts now and everything like that. He's got videos going just about all week long. So there you go, man. You can find me on Twitter at Ringside73. And, guys, we will see you next week. Thank you so much.
Great one, guys.